entertain? Are you not entertained?
Quiet, numbskulls, I'm broadcasting.
You're listening to the French Press Podcast, where we discuss events from our lives. Welcome to the French Press Podcast. This is episode 153. We've got Mr. Dave in studio today.
Hello, everyone.
And I did say this on the live stream a little bit ago, but you have watched the live stream, right?
Correct. And I'm one of the, five viewers? I'm there.
We had eight at one point. So
wow. Actually, I think nine.
You hit those double digits. You've hit the big time.
We're about to go viral. I can feel it.
Hey, at least Menno viral.
Menno viral?
Right, when stuff goes through 20 the Mennonite plus. Community. Yeah.
That is a good point. And if I lift you up here, there you can see me a little bit over there as well. So
that's good.
The gang's all here. Our normal cameraman did not make it today.
Couldn't.
Not sure why. But we're going to start with the day
and
the date.
Tuesday, October 4th, 2016.
Gen 4.
We've obviously got a weird story from history with Mr. Dave.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to talk a little bit about school. Leighton actually wants to talk about that.
Yeah.
And I've got some tech news for you. Something to do with OS X's latest update. It's no longer called OS X. It's now Mac OS Sierra.
Oh.
So
that's
big things.
I keep putting it off on my phone. So I want to know, should I download it? Should I keep putting it off?
This is actually a different one. This is a desktop update.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
But you definitely should update it unless you have it jailbroken.
Okay.
Definitely update.
Yeah, you need to. There's some stuff that, makes texting a lot more fun.
Oh.
I just found out in this last week.
Nice.
Woo.
Okay.
iOS 10 has it going on.
Yeah. Right. So let's start with, Leighton, you brought a box with you today. What is in the box and why did you want this to be in the live stream?
Well, I need to give some background. It turns out that in a couple weeks, I'm going to be going out to Idaho on a job. Excuse me while I put on my gloves. These are actually riding gloves, not gloves that I use for work, but this is all I had at home. I am going out to Idaho in a couple weeks, and I found out that for all the guys that are going to be going out to Idaho, they want them to become certified welders. And so this past Saturday, we had our official welding test.
Ooh.
We had an inspector come in, and he is very qualified in knowing what makes a bad weld. He knows what to look for.
So you're saying not everyone at the shop at Paul's Welding is certified?
Not quite, no. No, some just haven't gotten the chance yet.
Is it a big deal to be certified?
I mean, it's not... To work at the shop, no. But, it is, an official, license endorsement. So, you could take this to wherever you wanted to work. It would look good on, a resume or something.
Do you get a little patch to put on your uniform?
Oh, we get a tattoo.
Oh, nice.
Yep. I can't say where.
Let's keep it family friendly.
Yeah, no. We're given a piece of paper that just says, this guy's certified, so
you need to frame it.
Hire him.
Frame it.
Yeah.
Put it up somewhere.
Absolutely.
Your parents' kitchen, somewhere really obnoxious.
But when you're on the job site, do inspectors or the company you're working for, do they ever come over and ask, hey, are you certified?
No, never. it's just a thing of, the last time we had a job out in Idaho, there was one guy that raised a little bit of a fuss that some of the guys weren't certified in any welding. And it's basically just because of him. And there's a good chance we won't even run into him. I don't know. Whatever. It doesn't matter. They just want to make sure that we keep all of our bases covered. So they're like, okay, the guys that are going out to Idaho definitely need to, for sure, get certified in some sort of welding. And I was super nervous about it. I have very, very limited welding experience. And just because I've either been painting or I've been running the plasma.
So why were you selected for this trip if your experience level is pretty low?
Because I'm one of the few single guys that works at the shop. single but dating.
And that's the nice thing about a long distance
single,
relationship.
But not available.
It doesn't change things.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. So I told them that I'd go, and they said, okay, well, you need to get certified. So About a week before we had the actual tests, I started practicing. I got certified for two different welds. The one is the flat weld. And the flat weld I thought would be the easiest one. I got certified for two, the flat weld and then the overhead weld.
Can you hold it over here a little bit closer? It looks like one piece of steel.
Here it is. It's actually two pieces of half-inch steel that we cut at a 45-degree angle. And you can't see it because, obviously, I filled this gap between the two plates. But you cut two plates at 45-degree angles, and then you put those 45-degree angle cuts up against each other, so it creates a V groove. And then your job is to fill up the gap with however many welds it takes to fill it up all the way to the top.
Could you hold it so I can see it better? The ends, I mean.
The ends.
Yeah. Okay, there we go.
And so you have to do as many welds as it takes to fill up this groove. For me, it took 5. For a lot of the other guys, it took like 8. Apparently, I just do fatter, bigger welds, which isn't necessarily a good thing.
Are you timed on any of these?
You are not timed, no. Thank goodness.
Okay, now let me ask you probably a very simple question from a welder's perspective. When you are welding these, mm-hmm. are you like melting the bits of the metal together? Or are you adding something are you putting something in there? Or simply fusing them together through heat?
Okay. I'm pretty sure I'm right, but I'm not 100%. I haven't gone online and checked this, but mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure what is happening is there's an electric current going through the wire.
Okay.
There is a wire that is coming out of your welder.
Okay.
And that weld, that wire does melt.
Okay.
And it does add to the steel.
Okay.
But it does also melt steel that's okay. already there.
Gotcha.
One thing I don't understand is these are different kinds of metal then. The wire that's coming out of your welder and the two pieces of metal or steel that you're welding together,
mm-hmm.
I'm just surprised that they can melt together. Could you do that if you'd be using something totally different like aluminum or gold or silver?
Well, I know that for aluminum you can't use the same kind of... We're doing what's called MIG welding, and I don't think you can do MIG welding on aluminum. Yeah. I think you have to do TIG welding to weld aluminum together. I think. I don't know. I'm only certified with the MIG welding. That's another thing. You can get certified for different kinds of welds, whether it's a flat weld or an overhead weld or a vertical weld. But then there's also getting certified for what kind of welder you're using, whether it's MIG, which is what this is. That's where a piece of wire is coming out of your tip. And then there's also TIG welding, which I don't really even know what that is. And then there's stick welding. I'm not sure what other kind of welding there is, but there's a lot. There's a lot. Anyway, I welded these two plates together, these two half-inch plates together, filled the groove all the way up, and then they cut down the middle of the plate, and they see how, they make sure that it's solid all the way through. There's no, gaps where you welded. They look at the face of the weld.
So this is the piece that has been cut in half.
Mm-hmm. And then what they do is they go 1 inch in and then nip off the end of this plate. And then they cut out a 3/8 strip. And this is a 3/8 strip also from this same plate. Okay? And then they put this strip, this 3/8 strip, into a pipe bender. On its side so that the face of the weld is facing upwards. And then they put pressure and they basically bend this strip all the way into
a horseshoe
shape, yeah.
We won't get too technical.
No,
here.
We're not going to. And then if there are any holes or just impurities in that weld, in the face of that weld, it will definitely show up when they bend it like that.
Okay, I was talking to Kyle about this, and I guess, is it normal that there are air bubbles or gaps inside?
This is one of the 3/8 sticks that was bent.
I can hardly even tell where you welded it.
And there is a slight crack in there. But thankfully it wasn't big enough to actually make me fail. It has to be like a 1/16 big.
That's pretty impressive.
Yeah. Legit.
Wow.
So overall, how long did this certification and testing process take you?
There were 5 other guys that were also getting tested. And so combined with them, it took like from 8 o'clock until about, or 8:30 until 11:30. So about 3 hours. And then I did another weld. The flat weld took the longest because you have to do so many different welds. And in between each weld, you have to use a wire brush to clean out all of the dust and the soot and everything. They call it slag. They have to clean out all that stuff so that it's not underneath the next weld that you're about to do. But then we also did an overhead weld, and that's basically 2 half-inch plates. The one plate is at a 90 degree, is perpendicular in the middle of the other plate. These plates are upside down, okay? And you just have to weld up into this corner that is upside down. And then they break it apart using the press. I actually have a video of that if you want to put it on the website.
Very good.
They break it apart, and then they look at the corner of the plate that was upright or the plate that was perpendicular. And they look at that corner and make sure that there's grooves cutting in all the way along that corner to make sure that you were penetrating the plate the entire way through. So, yeah, that's pretty much what the test consists of.
Well, congratulations.
Thanks.
Do you have your certification handy?
I haven't been given it yet.
Okay.
Is it like pass-fail, or do you get like a grade?
It is pass-fail. Nice. If you do fail one of these, you're allowed to take the test again right away, but then you have to produce 2 sets of passing welds. And if one of those fails, then you fail the second time as well.
All right. Yeah. I heard you were doing this, and I know it is kind of a big deal as far as you needed to get it done.
Yeah, I did.
So... All right, I think we're going to cut off our live stream, unless there's nothing else that would be visually important for the listeners to see. So thank you guys for watching. We'll be doing the live stream. It's more of a behind the scenes, but once in a while, maybe we'll have some relevant content to show you as well. So thanks for joining us. Listen to the podcast for the full episode, and check that'll be available later tonight. So thanks, guys, for watching, and we'll talk to you later.
Such faithful little viewers they are. Oh, bless their hearts.
We are still recording the podcast.
Oh. Yeah.
All right, let's jump right into Mr. Dave, your weird story from history.
All right. Well, this story takes place in 1980s America, so slightly before our time. Of course, you had the Cold War going on. You had Ronald Reagan being elected. And lots of conflict kind of in the Middle East, kind of starting up. And also that year, the president of Iraq, Saddam Hussein, was given a key to the city of Detroit.
Oh.
Now, yes, very weird. Now, the key to the city tradition kind of started in medieval Europe when you actually started having physical keys, not just like a beam that you'd, you know, put into place or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So when a monarch or ruler came to a city, the leaders would greet him, hold a party, dancing, food, etc. And then they'd give him an actual key to the gate on the city. So it would give, basically say, you have unlimited access to the city.
Okay.
And then eventually it also went to like respected merchants, tradesmen, you know, that way, kind of saying like, hey, you can come in here without a tax or toll or questions, like just waive this. It's kind of your all access pass.
And historically, would multiple people have keys to the city, or would it be one person?
I don't know. That's a good question. I mean, it probably would depend on the size of the town. I would assume there would be multiple copies, but I don't know. That's a good question. The first time the U.S. did that was New York City in 1702. Actually, the mayor, who was named Philip French, gave it to a Viscount Hyde from Britain, who was actually the British governor of the colony, and kind of gave him that power, the key to the city, or they also kind of called it freedom of the city.
Freedom of the city.
Right. And so that's kind of how the custom of giving a key to the city started. So why did Saddam Hussein get the key to Detroit? Well, he became president of Iraq in 1979. And of course, 6 days later, he then executed 21 government officials who were traitors, quote unquote. So not a great guy.
It's just funny because he became president. It sounds like he was elected and it was very civil. And then executed.
It's what the people wanted.
Right. And these dictators, I just saw a few weeks ago, the dictator of North Korea executed one of his long-standing officials because he was slouching during an official...
I'm going to sit up a little bit straighter.
Yeah, exactly. And he was executed, just like that. Anyways, now Hussein was a Sunni Muslim, and I believe Sunni... you have the Sunnis and the Shiites. I think the Sunnis are a little bit more liberal, but I could be wrong on that. But he wasn't super religious, but of course he valued loyalty and political support. Being a dictator, that's what's important. So there was actually a reverend named Reverend Jacob Yasso, who was the reverend of a Chaldean Catholic church in Detroit. And these Catholics are basically Catholics that would come from the Mesopotamia area. So like Iraq, Turkey, Syria, something like that. So they're not all Muslim. Some of them are Catholics. So anyways, this guy had originally, this Reverend Yasso, had actually originally been born in Iraq, went to Rome, got his master's in philosophy, theology, ordained a priest. And so then eventually found his way to Detroit, where he was a pastor of, I think, the largest kind of Middle Eastern Catholic church in the U.S., or that's at least this kind of the center is Detroit.
Wow.
So he, when Hussein came to power, this reverend actually kind of publicly congratulated him and said, you know, congratulations, all this stuff. So even though they were different religions, he was still a powerful figure in that kind of Middle Eastern culture. So in response, Saddam actually in 1980 sent the church 250,000, which was a little bit of a surprise because, so it also, you know, criticized the regime had gotten on him because he was questioning some things that they were doing. So later on, though, they talked to Yasso and he said, well, Hussein was giving donations to lots of these little Chaldean churches across the world. So he thought, well, maybe I'm just kind of lumped in and it's not like a personal thing. And like I said, Detroit was the largest of that population in the U.S. So it kind of, and they had been supporting Hussein in the elections and some of those things. So it kind of made sense that they would get so much of a gift. Well, they kept in touch and about a year later,
became pen pals.
Basically, yeah. So about a year later, there were about 25 people from that community who were guests of the Iraqi government and actually went over to Baghdad, including this reverend. And he, so was led into the palace kind of on a red carpet. They kind of had a big party there for him. Yeah. And so during the celebration, Yasso, since they were a guest, presented Saddam Hussein a gift from the mayor of Detroit, the key to the city. Now, of course, it didn't, you know, unlock anything, but it's the symbolic honor. Now, this mayor was kind of known for just giving away lots of keys. I think he gave away close to 300 over his tenure.
Goodness.
So, you know, it wasn't a huge deal, but yet, you know, it was an honor. Now, in the late 70s, early 80s, the U.S. kind of had that philosophy of, you know, an enemy of our enemy is our friend. So at the time, Hussein, head of Iraq, was engaged in a war with Iran. And so right then was when we had that the Iran hostage situation with Jimmy Carter and all that stuff. So we were definitely more against Iran than we were against Iraq during that time period. And so the State Department was definitely on Iraq's side, and they may have been kind of involved in this. Let's make Hussein feel special. Let's give him this key. So there may have been some politics pulling some strings behind the scenes. So, of course, in Baghdad, Saddam accepted the honor, and he asked Reverend Yasso, you know, I heard that there's a debt on your church. How much is it? Like, how much do you still owe? And Yasso said, well, yeah, it's actually $170,000. So more than this $250,000 he had already been given. Mm-hmm. And they also had built a big community center and some things, so the church had a lot of property there. So Saddam gave him a check for $200,000 to pay off the debt and be able to build their new recreation hall.
Well, how nice of him.
So in a 2003 interview, Yasso went on to say that Saddam was an American puppet, and that once the U.S. government didn't need him anymore, then he was no good. So he kind of maybe saw it as the Americans brought him into power to fight Iran. Then once they had defeated Iran, we were kind of done and started painting him as a bad guy. But he did admit that while Saddam Hussein may have been a good person at some point, money and power changed the person.
Ah.
So.
As does it most people.
As it definitely would. So that's why Saddam Hussein was given a key to the city of Detroit.
Wow.
And that pastor is still probably alive today.
The last interview I saw was 2003. He would have graduated from college in 1960, so he definitely, if he is alive, would be fairly old, 80s okay. probably.
He's probably not in taking on the full responsibilities that he was at one time in charge.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Stepping down, fading away.
Do you by chance know the name of the community center that was built from that?
Well, let's see here. The church was called the Chaldean, which is Chaldean, Sacred Heart. It's in Detroit. So it's probably still there today. I doubt if it's called, like, the Saddam Hussein Youth Center. But but it seems like it may still be there today. So
that is crazy.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Well, you never cease to impress, Mr. Dave.
Well, thanks.
Where do you find, do you actively search for these stories, or do they just pop
Ruben,
up on your news feed?
A storyteller never reveals his secrets.
It's kind of a mix. Sometimes there's some searching involved. Sometimes there's, you know, if you're reading something and something seems kind of strange, you're like, oh, what's the story behind that? And you kind of go down the Wikipedia rabbit hole.
Mm-hmm.
You can find some.
Those
of
are
things,
the funnest.
So. Oh, yeah.
Ugh.
Yeah.
With all the good stories that you know, I'm assuming you probably listen to some other podcasts too. So maybe we've been doing a podcast recommendation. So towards the end, if you could just, in the back of your mind, keep that rolling. And if you'd have a recommendation for us,
sure,
that'd be great. Okay. We've got the bachelor party to discuss.
Mm-hmm.
That was 2 weeks ago.
Yep.
Weeks just rolled together.
Well, a week and a half.
Yeah. Real quickly, I'll just tell you guys a little bit about Mac OS Sierra. Is no longer OS 10, and this is the desktop operating system for Apple. They changed it from OS 10 branding to now OS Sierra. And one thing I don't know if it'll keep on being called. I think from now on it'll just be called Mac OS, and then they'll change the name so it's Sierra now. But then the next year it'll be something different, kind of like OS 10 Yosemite, OS 10. El Capitan, some of those.
Branding.
So one of the main features that they added.
How dare they?
corporate
shills.
You know it.
Is they added Siri to the desktop.
Wow.
So now.
My Dell came with that. I'm just going to throw that out there.
Cortana?
I think so.
So you can, if you're wondering what sports scores are, you know, you used to use your phone. Well, you can also use your Mac now. You just click on Siri, and there's probably a keyboard shortcut. I honestly haven't even used it. I saw it was there, but I haven't even used it until today. But I'll give a little demonstration.
Okay. I'm really excited about this.
How often do you guys use Siri on
your
phone?
If you say so.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Sorry. I use it. I mean, I do use it every day. Okay. I primarily use it for dictation.
Okay.
So if I'm writing a text message or reading, yeah.
Every time I try to use Siri, she always cuts me off. Like,
I think that's in the latest update. It seems like I can't pause to gain my thoughts.
Exactly. She's already, so fast.
She's already,
like,
computing.
It'll just give like the little, like, the affirmative, like, time to start talking. And like, right when I start talking, she's like, I'm sorry, I didn't hear what you said. And she's like, well, I was about to tell you, but you cut me off.
So, for example, here's some things you can do. What is Notre Dame's record?
Sorry, I don't know who performs what is Notre Dame's record.
Oh,
Of course. Let's try it again.
She's so smart.
What is Notre Dame's record?
Let me check that. Okay, I found this on the web for what is Notre Dame's
record.
See,
this is not what it's supposed to do.
She's so
just
bad.
A little bit ago. I do like Apple products, but this is a major failure, and I won't try to cover it up or say it's not. They still have some major issues. Let's try the weather. What's the weather like today?
She's fast.
Here's
dude.
The weather today.
And that shows me a little widget of what the weather is, what it's going to be the rest of the evening.
Mm-hmm. Is it going to be nice?
Cloudy, but no rain.
Oh, thank goodness.
So... One thing Apple has introduced a few years ago was iMessage for the desktop, and I really do like that. I'm on my Mac a lot, so I can quickly reply to a text message, and it'll actually sync it, or it'll be the same thing.
Right.
Even text messages, even if it's not an iMessage.
The most amazing thing is, like, when I get a text message on my phone, I also get it on my iPad, and, like, let's say I read it on my phone, I can see the notification disappear from my iPad right away. So it's not like I have to read all my text messages on my phone and then read those same text messages on my iPad. Oh, that would be the worst. First world problems.
They announced some new features like seamless copy and paste. So you could paste something from your iPad or from your Mac and copy it and then you could paste it to your other device. Mm-hmm. And I haven't figured out
how it's supposed to work.
But I'll figure it out and then let you guys know.
I'm sure that Johnny I would be willing to explain it to you.
All right, that was the main thing I wanted to talk about, was just Siri on your desktop now.
I would like to say my favorite thing so far about iOS 10 for your iPhone. It is awesome because when you're doing iMessage to someone, you can... type in the box, whatever, type in the text box, whatever message you want. Mm-hmm. And then if you hold down the send arrow, you hold it down, and then you have this list that pops up. And it's different ways to present your text to the person that you're sending it to.
Okay.
There is the send with invisible ink, and that makes like your text message like blurry, mm-hmm. and like looks like little like looks like glitter.
Okay.
Sort of. And then once the receiver sees the message, they can tap on it and then it will reveal what the message is supposed to say. It will reveal what the message is supposed to say, and then they can read it, and then after a couple seconds it'll go back into glitter invisible ink.
Okay.
There's also the loud. I love the loud. It's great.
Oh, okay.
It makes the text message get really big, and it actually pushes all the other text messages up.
Okay, nice.
In this, yeah.
To me, this is overdone makeup. It's like...
This is makeup that I'm really enjoying. So just let me enjoy my makeup.
Okay. A little bit of makeup is fine, but that's just too much.
They also have different scenes different screens, so you can like make balloons like float up when they receive the text message,
which is just terribly annoying.
Or confetti, that would be good for happy birthday. Mm-hmm. They also have lasers and shooting stars and fireworks.
Okay, so the lesson here is, if you're out there listening and have Ruben's number, send him
Layton's
balloon
number.
Messages, glitter,
with
you
the
name
slam
it.
Sound effect. Love it. That's so far what I've really been enjoying. And also, you can do handwritten messages. That's really cool.
Technology is crazy.
iOS 10.
All right. We wanted, Mr. Dave is obviously a school teacher. Layton wanted to talk something about school.
Well, I only say that, I just have a comment. Just because the principal at UCS gave a talk at my church Sunday night about school.
Okay.
And everything and what all is going on there. And just, yeah, I don't know. Just how everything's going, how UCS matches up to public schools or homeschooling, whatever. And at the end, he sort of gave different ways to support the school. And one is just by like showing up. Even if you don't have kids that attend there, you just show up to a school function. They won't mind. Mm-hmm. Mr. Dave, you would mind if I would show up to a school function, would you?
No, it depends what the function is.
Right.
But no.
I show up to a parent teacher conference. So tell me about my child. Like, what? Mr. Dave, how's he doing?
He's doing very well.
Okay, good. But I've been noticing that he's coming home with like a lot of homework. Like, is there any way that you could kind of lighten the load up for him a little
bit? Well, sometimes I've found that students, and remember that this is your child.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes I found that students may have a lot of homework at home because they're not using their time wisely at school.
But he tells me that he works diligently, but he said that the other kids distract him.
Well, I would probably say
could you tell the other kids to not talk to him during study halls?
Talking is often a two-way street. But, I mean, I'd be willing to work on cracking down on that, but in what I've seen, it tends to go both ways.
All right.
I don't know. Being a child of Layton might see that differently. It could be a one-way street.
So I was carrying a conversation with myself.
You do have open house this week, is that
right?
That's
correct. Mm-hmm.
And open house, I've been to several since I've been out of school,
mm-hmm.
and it always it looks like a lot of work. Sometimes there's not, I don't know if there's scavenger hunts, but there's mm-hmm. things to do, go around, and this might not be the most exciting thing for teachers to do. I'm sure it's not. I'm sure it's a lot of work, but is there anything special that if Layton would to attend that he would definitely want to check out?
Well, this year our theme is different eras of time.
Ooh.
So each room kind of has a different era. I know we have the Victorian era, we have the Gold Rush, ancient Greece, the Great Depression or 1940s, I don't know, sometime.
Okay.
And my room is actually doing the future.
Whoa, now, Tron.
Often technology comes with, it's pretty hard to replicate technology on the cheap versus some of those other time eras.
Right.
So basically, my room's going to be fairly basic this year. I've asked some of the students to come up with various like inventions and things that mm-hmm. they think mm-hmm. might be in the future.
I'm sure Theodore is all over that.
Well, unfortunately, I don't have Theodore anymore.
Oh, did he already graduate?
He did graduate. Now, I believe I was
at his graduation.
I think some of the students may actually be stealing some technology from him. I'm not exactly sure to help with that. But
okay.
Anyways, and I do have one set of students that's working on a commercial for Hover Shoes.
Really?
So that will be playing.
A video?
Yes. They've been shooting it for a few days now.
That's very elaborate.
Yeah. Well, I kind of wanted to give them options. I knew that some of them would want to do something like that versus, you know, making a poster or making a prototype or something.
Mm-hmm.
So they took me up on it. So I'm hopeful.
I'm really interested. See. Is that this weekend?
It's actually on Thursday. Thursday night at, okay. I believe, 7 o'clock.
Okay.
So
I will pencil it in. And I do
notice that it's not with a pen. It's with a pencil.
Yeah. Which is okay. I'm always amazed at the amount of people that come, especially to the open house, who don't necessarily have a child there. It's definitely more than just parents. So
right.
It is not. It's a lot of people. But it is nice to see that they come out for that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we have a Christmas program that is not blowing anyone's socks off, you know, production wise. But we've got
tons of people.
The gym completely full of people.
Oh, yeah.
So it definitely, that helps you feel supported.
Mm-hmm.
It does add a little pressure when you know that there's going to be a lot of people there. But it's good. It shows that people care about the school. Mm-hmm. So that's good.
People are interested.
Yeah.
Good. Good stuff.
All right. We do have our poll question to get to as well. In fact, why don't we just knock that one out right away? A few weeks ago, we skipped it for last week. My fault. The poll question was, Jeffy was doing some tutorials, making espresso, caramelizing, what is it called? Creme brulee.
Yeah.
And we asked, which one did you enjoy the most? And so there was three for the mini espresso, Wakaku. And then the pull over coffee had two, and then the caramelizing had one.
What?
So
the one with fire had one?
Maybe it's because everyone knew how to do it.
But still, I guess, yeah, it is one of the like more basic ones that you probably would just be able to know. But I would have been like, oh, cool, fire. Mm-hmm. How awesome is that?
We had a poll question with you, Mr. Davis. What kind of poster should you make? It was like information, inspiration, and maybe there was another one. And maybe we asked you this last time, but I forget. Which one did you end up going with?
I ended up going with, I forget which bulletin board it was, but I have one that is inspirational, kind of has a verse on it. It's one that says something about like following God, respect all men, love others, and then honor the king. It kind of is just like four simple commands. And I kind of put that up like thinking about the presidential election, how that may not go the way that a lot of our students want it to go. But yeah, we're still going to have to like respect, mm-hmm. you know, whoever gets it. Anyways, so one of them's inspirational. The other one is actually half informational, kind of has math posters and kind of hints and things like that. And then also half interactive. So I kind of did parts of all three, but I've been doing like a question of the week and they write their answers on a sticky and put it up on the bulletin board.
Okay.
So.
I was going to ask, how is it interactive? But
yeah.
Okay.
Answer every week.
Do you do current events with your students?
Sometimes, not necessarily, you know, at a specific time, but we will often talk about things. If there's a debate, like I may show some highlights if we have time throughout the classes.
So. Cool.
Yeah. Mr. H used to play a game. I forget what it was called, but
we always just called it Current Events.
Current Events, yeah. That was always a lot of fun.
We did it with Miss Martin. That was like in junior high, but that was like my favorite thing. And she always had me do like a theme, like intro song that I did like the one time at the beginning of the year, and then she had me do it every time when we started. She's like, Layton, do the theme music, and I go doodly 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 do. And then we'd start. It was awesome, and I always look forward to that.
Was it the same song every time, or the same tune?
It was that exact tune.
You remember it?
Oh, yeah. I'm telling you, man. Current events were the thing. It was
so great. Explain the game to me quickly. Like, what was the...
You had different categories.
Yeah,
there's sports, politics.
Then maybe... I don't know if there was a history one or not.
Okay.
A history question about current events. Which makes sense. Well, right?
It could have been this day in history.
Oh, okay.
Today in history.
Okay.
And then I think also entertainment, I think.
Yes.
Maybe
even a scientific one.
Probably. So I feel like there were five categories. Okay. And they had different points than kind of like Jeopardy.
Right. I love playing Jeopardy.
Oh, yeah.
But you would break up into groups. Okay. And we'd play for probably 20 minutes, 15, 20 minutes.
Okay. Right.
And it was basically just current events questions.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't things that the teacher made up. It was from some...
I'm sure there's like a website or something you could go to that would be like...
Probably, but...
That updates.
Back then, it was paper.
Oh, what?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, they had online...
He got it on the Telegraph.
They had the internet.
maybe it was emailed to him, maybe.
I got a telegram for Miss Martin.
All right, let's talk about the bachelor party weekend.
Yeah.
Which sounds way more exciting than it was.
Right.
But one of our friends, Eric, who's been on the podcast, he is getting married. I don't even know if we announced that.
He's getting married.
That's why he's not here anymore.
It is, yeah.
Yeah.
he opted to have dinner with her family on Tuesday nights when we recorded instead of recording with us. So
they have. Okay, never mind. We're not going to get into this.
That's dedication. Good for you, Eric.
Yeah.
Yeah, good.
But we hung out in the area, stayed at my place. And then one thing that we did that was a lot of fun, we went to Fort Wayne. It's called the Escape Room. Mm-hmm. And it's pretty much a maze with riddles to get out of.
Riddles and puzzles and
there's
such.
There's different rooms, different themes for different rooms at this place. Mm-hmm. We did kind of like, I forget what it was called, but Indiana Jones style.
It's, okay. It's Uncharted.
Uncharted is what it was called. They have different ones. They might have had an Egyptian one. They have different themes.
They had a hospital one, I think, or like a operation room one.
I wonder if that wasn't something else.
Oh.
Yeah,
there was an actual ER next door. Like, oh, let's explore.
Like, this looks so real. I can't. This actually looks like a foot. I think it actually is a foot.
But you start off in this room, and you need to open up doors that lead into another room eventually.
Padlocks,
to get out.
You have to find keys.
We actually did this as a field trip last spring.
Oh,
really?
Not the one in Fort Wayne, but down in Indy. It kind of started, you can do a very small version of these games online where you have like, okay, you're locked in your office. How do you get out? And so as part of math class last year, like at certain times we'd play these games, just kind of build
as a group.
Building. Yeah, as a group. So like one person would be running the computer, but it was up on the projector so that the kids could say, oh, hey, you know, check this drawer, try this combination, that sort of thing. And I actually had two classes competing, so the class that had the fastest time then got bonus questions or bonus points on their test. Anyway, so I found out that down in Indy they had one that actually has, I think, 5 different rooms. And so we went down and did that as part of our field trip last year. So
very cool.
It was a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm. We didn't make it out.
Oh. No, we
and
died.
We should have known that because it took Layton was driving, and not to throw anyone under the bus, but it took us about 3 loops around the block before we found a parking spot.
How are we supposed to find keys and combinations, but we can't even find a parking spot in Fort Wayne?
But here's the one riddle that stumped us. What creature has 4 legs in the morning, or crawls on four legs in the morning, walks on 2 at noon, and walks on 3 at night.
Or 3 in the evening.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What creature walks on 4
in the morning?
4 in the morning, 2 at noon, yeah, and 3 in the evening. And we couldn't figure it out.
Yeah.
We were trying to think, is it some kind of, like a werewolf or something that changes shape in the day, at night? We could not figure it out. It ends up,
hey, base camp to Uncharted. That's the guy, the game master. Mm-hmm. He gave us a walkie-talkie,
right,
and he told us we got 3 hints.
Right.
He gave us a lot more than 3.
And that's the key to these. If anybody does escape rooms, and I would definitely recommend him, use your hints. Like, if you are stuck for more than 5 minutes, use a hint. Like, don't waste time.
Don't dilly-dally.
Being stuck. And often they will give you more hints. Some places may say, like, oh, you have to dance or tell a joke. But they will give you hints. So ask for hints.
They anyways. Want you to get it. They want
oh,
you to
absolutely.
Have fun.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
But the room that we were in, which they said it was the most difficult one.
Okay.
Only 15% completed.
Wow.
Right. The fastest time was, what, 40 minutes?
Yeah, probably.
Out of an hour.
Actually, I thought it was less than half an hour. I thought the one group.
Don't be ridiculous, Ruben.
I'm serious. I thought it was pretty fast.
Ruben.
But regardless, still only 15% made it.
Okay.
We were in the majority.
Did you ever solve the riddle?
Well, he told us.
So he finally just, yeah. No, we asked him. That was one of the hints that
we
used.
That was one of the ones that we asked him.
Mm-hmm. Base camp to Uncharted. The data here shows that the riddle that is probably, the answer to your riddle is probably human.
No, at first he said, "There's this creature is in the room you're in right now."
Oh, the creature.
Yeah. And so we got it with that. At first we tried, it's like a combination, or not a, I'm not sure what kind of lock, but it has
it was
letters,
a word.
Letters
it
on
was
it.
It was a word.
Okay.
Yeah.
Lock.
We tried man, that didn't work, and then we saw human. We could make human with the letters that were there.
We're giving away
so, there you go.
Answers to this, Ruben. What if somebody like goes and does that room that's listening to this podcast?
Well, that's just one.
I was gonna say,
that's just one of the many.
Yeah. Oh, man.
My favorite one, so I've done a couple now. The favorite one that I did was, it was a bank, and you were actually a robber. And so when you were in the room, you actually had to only use flashlights. There's maybe one lamp. And so you had to use flashlights. You had to find them. Then there was like several different rooms. And then at one point, you're facing like an entire vault of safety deposit boxes. And you have, I don't know, 20, 30 keys.
Oh.
And like each one is different. There's two keys for each one. So you're just going through key after key after key. Oh. Anyways, it was a lot of fun. And the other tip I would have is go with your energetic friends. The two times I've done it, once was with students.
With your boring friends.
Was with some, no, the other one was with like some also younger, more energetic people. So I could kind of like sit back a little bit and not, this sounds haughty, but like be the brains and like think through some of the things, and
they were like tearing
stuff apart. You know, like somebody needs to be the one who's willing to just go for it.
Yeah, we had known with brains. We were all
the one time we accidentally opened up a door.
I think it happened twice.
Okay, and they were like, "Don't go in there." Nope.
No, there was supposed to be a combination of hitting certain rocks.
Oh, okay.
And we were just hitting them.
We were just clubbing around, and then it opened up. Like, we accidentally guessed the combination. It was awesome.
That sounds pretty cool.
It was fun. I definitely recommend, try it out. And you can take up to 8 people, and I think it'd be a little bit crowded with 8 people because the rooms are pretty small.
I feel like 5 was the perfect number.
Yeah.
The one that I went to, they would fill it then with other people, or could. So the one time it kind of worked out that we had the right size, but the other time we were actually in with some strangers, which I thought would be a little weird, but you kind of, it's like, you know what, we have an hour, like, we're going to have to work together, and it kind of, the barriers kind of go down fairly quickly.
You're right.
So.
Yep.
That is one thing, we didn't want to go with other people. We were hoping it would just be us, but yeah. I guess if you're forced in a situation,
you just kind of go for it.
Yeah. Probably isn't that bad.
Base camp Uncharted.
All right, we do need a poll question, but first off, Mr. Dave, did you have time to think of what podcast would you recommend?
Oh, okay. Well, I'm fairly certain you guys have talked about this one, but it's probably been a while, and that's This American Life. Now, I mean, definitely a word of caution. There are times when there's stories they have to use your discretion. They do a pretty good job of warning you ahead of time, but that's just the gold standard storytelling-wise.
It is very well produced.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And they usually, they often have very interesting content.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The other one I've been listening to is actually called the Back Row Baptist podcast. Back Row Baptist is kind of one of those like church humor sites. It's kind of started on Twitter, and it's actually
sort of like the Babylon Bee of podcasts.
Kind of, yeah, but it's kind of basically tweeting like a slacker Baptist guy who wants to sit in the back row, be the first one into the potluck line, that sort of thing. So just kind of church humor. And there's a lot of these out here, out there if you're, that's kind of your thing. But anyway, so Back Row Baptist, then the guy kind of used his Twitter popularity to kind of start a, kind of a speaking ministry type of thing. But anyways, he has a podcast where basically about the first half or so is, spent with, he'll often have various guests, kind of staff from the church and some of his friends, where they kind of maybe play some games, you know, guess the Christian movie, where, you know, he describes the plot, first one to guess, like, the name of the movie, some of those little
Narnia
things. Right, that Passion sort of thing. Or he'll, like, describe it backwards, and you have to, like, you know, the Newsboys play a concert, and then people start questioning God. You know, like that's the plot of, you know, God's not dead, but it's right. Backwards, and you have to guess. Anyways,
oh, my word.
Little games like that, so it's kind of funny humor there, and then there's often maybe the other half, 15 minutes or so, of kind of a serious discussion about stuff that Christians or church people face. For example, like talking about marriage or gossip or talking about, like, how do you get more volunteers for stuff like that? Mm. So you get some solid content, but it's also a fun listen. And they're fairly, I mean, it's a half hour podcast, so it's not
half hour
oppressive.
I have been listening to the recommendations that I've been given.
Okay.
And so I will listen and then just mention again next week.
Sure.
And I did listen to the ones from last week, which we had two. We had Myths and Legends, which was one that Jeff recommended, and it is really interesting. It's not true stuff. It is mm-hmm. myths and legends, and you can tell it's often fairy tale based. But the one I listened to was about kind of a parallel to Cinderella, but it's from the Chinese, their version of it. And maybe they're not even linked, but there are some similarities though, which make you think that it sounds kind of like the same story. Mm. Really interesting podcast. My only critique of it is that it's hard to tell when the storyteller is breaking storytelling mode and just giving you a fact.
Information.
Because he does that sometimes where he's telling you, you know, this story comes from this year is where it was first heard and from this country, and then he goes back into telling the story. So that it's a little bit confusing sometimes, but it is a great podcast, Myths and Legends. Definitely love it. And then the other one was Steve Brown, Etc. And I only listened to one episode from this gentleman, but he had on I think it's actually a radio show, but he had on an author who talked about a book about prayer, and it's definitely much more serious. But there's also times where it's a little bit humorous as well. Mm. So,
did you develop a man crush for him?
Or? I didn't, but if you enjoyed listening to deep voices, definitely this guy's got a deep voice, and it'll shake you.
Depends what kind of headphones you got on, or how loud you got the volume in your car.
I think
how do you guys manage to keep up with podcasts, or is it just kind of hit or miss?
At this point, I don't.
Okay,
I keep up with probably 25 podcasts.
Good.
Wow. Are you listening pretty much throughout the day each day?
Yes.
Okay.
So if there's evenings when I'm I don't have any more podcasts to listen to.
Whoa!
But here's how I get through them. These aren't all daily podcasts either. There's probably only three to four that are daily. Mm-hmm. So the other ones would just be weekly. But I do listen to every one at least 1.25 and a lot of them at 1.5 speed.
Yeah, I've been doing that too.
Got to burn through those podcasts. Oh,
absolutely. Well, and the problem is, okay, so for me, you know, I like to listen to, obviously, the French press. It's like first priority.
Really?
Okay. Really?
No, it's not.
All right.
But I do always go back and catch up. Like yesterday, I was in town for a while, so I like caught up on several of these.
Cool.
But then, so you have Irish Sports Talk, which, you know, at least during the season, you have to keep up. But that's, like, you have to do it in that week. I've been playing fantasy football, so I want to kind of
get in on that.
So there's, you know, a couple hours a week on that. Mm-hmm. And if you can't listen throughout the day, like if you know, like you can, it gets tough to do stuff outside of that.
Right.
Yeah, if I couldn't listen to it throughout the day, I wouldn't be able to keep up.
Yeah.
All right.
Again, first world problems.
Yeah. How do I get through all my podcasts? Poll question.
Yeah. Do you have a poll question? The way you said that made me think that maybe you have a poll question.
Well, I was just wondering if you had a poll question. But
we might just need to skip it for this week.
Well, but we skipped last week, too.
It is true.
All
right, we've got our poll questions ready. And one thing I didn't mention is that our friend Eric, who we talked about, mm-hmm. he had a gift shower? What do you call it again?
It's a Pampered Chef
It's a bridal something. Shower, but I'm assuming that you guys were invited?
Men were invited. So it's like
a bridal and groomal shower.
Yes. For this one, it was okay for the men to attend. So, would you rather attend a bridal shower or the UCS open house?
Which one?
All right, that's it for today, guys. Thank you for listening. Check back next week for another short live stream with some behind-the-scenes footage, as well as another podcast. Next week, I think we'll be joined by Jeffrey again. He'll be back on the podcast.
Oh, good.
In a more regular basis. Thank you, Mr. Dave.
Anytime.
Do you want to promote anything? Are you writing a book?
I'm not writing a book. Set goals for yourself. That's something I'm working on. Maybe we can talk about that next time.
Ooh. Okay, set goals for yourself. Teaser for next month. Next month, I'm going to be gone in Idaho. I'm going to be in Idaho.
That will be some challenges. You're going to be gone for a few months. However, we will persevere.
A month and a half.
And we'll make it work.
Yeah, we will.
So, thank you guys for listening. Thank you, Mr. Dave. And one last thing.
Word of the week.
Yes.
Word of the week I think is going to be, oh man. Oh, this is tough. I think I'm going to go with Escape.
Okay. That's where I was leaning.
Really?
I didn't want to be another instance where I'd ask you, why'd you choose that word? So.
Okay.
All right. Thanks for listening. And we'll see you guys next week.